Continuing the discussion of time in relation to the name Sanat, Vishu Sahasranama, name 897, particularly today speaking on calculation of time from the atom. Time as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the rubric of Sanat. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11, discusses calculation of time from the atom. Therein, the measurements of time range from a tuti, which is 0.000593 of a second. 1 second divided by 1,687.5 is called a tuti. You know, in the gopis' lamentation on not seeing Krishna, tuti yugayatam, they feel a tuti to be like a whole long eon. The measurement of time in this Bhagavatam chapter ranges from a tuti up to a measurement of time which is 311,040 billion human years, which is the lifespan of Lord Brahma, who is the demiurge. That is the technical word taken from Greek mythology. The demiurge of the universe, it means the creator of the universe, which doesn't necessarily mean he's the supreme god. However, in the same chapter of Bhagavatam is stated that Lord Brahma's lifespan, 311,040 billion human years, Brahma's lifespan is calculated to be equal to one nimesha for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nimesha is another very small measurement of time, less than a second. Chuti yugayatam, a chuti, a very tiny measurement of time, seems to the gopis like a yuga. Yuga means an age. In Bhagavatam, in the same chapter, is described that there are four basic yugas. Satya Yuga, which lasts 1,728,000 years, which is followed by Treta Yuga. Remember, we're talking about cyclical time here. Treta Yuga, 1,296,000 years. Dwarapa Yuga, 864,000 years. And Kali Yuga, which we are presently in, 432,000 years. The basic unit is 432,000 years. That's the length of Kali Yuga. Dwarapa Yuga is twice as long. Treta Yuga is three times as long as Kali Yuga. And Satya Yuga is four times as long as Kali Yuga. If we add the duration of all the yugas together, that's Kali Yuga, it makes one unit, Dwarapa two, Treta three, and Satya 4, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 equals 10. So these four yugas come together to be 4,320,000 years. That's called a Mahayuga. And a thousand Mahayugas together form the duration of Brahma's one day. And such is the duration also of his night, as stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Viduhu Ratring Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vido Janaha. By human calculation, people who are in the know about these things, Krishna says, a thousand ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Avyaktad Vyaktaya Sarva Prabhavantya har agame, ratriagame praliyante tatrai va vyakta sangyake. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifest state, and thereafter, when Brahma's night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. Bhuta gramasa eva yang bhutva bhutva praliyate ratriagame vasha parta prabhavatyaharagame. Krishna says to Partha, Arjuna, again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all the living entities come into being. That means they attain bodies, because as spiritual beings they are eternal, but they get forms. And with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are again annihilated. This is Brahma's day. One day of Brahma is called a kalpa, which is divided into 14 manvantaras, which is the period when one manu exists. There are 14 manus in the life of Brahma, and each period during which a manu lives is called a manvantara. So a manu lives for one manvantara, which is just over 71 Mahayugas, or approximately 306,720,000 human years. Right now, we're in the first day of the second half of Brahma's life. Six manvantaras have passed. We're in the seventh manvantara, called the Vaivasvata Manu, of which 27 Mahayugas have passed, and in the 28th Mahayuga, we're in the beginning of the Kali Yuga. So for Lord Brahma, he's just over 50 years old. And it is approximately, if we want to translate that into our time measurements, it's a little bit before 11:30 in the morning on the first day after his 50th birthday. We can put it down to seconds if we like, but there are 86,400 seconds in 24 hours. And for Brahma, 1 second equals 100,000 human years. Details about the manu, the various manus, are there in the Bhagavatam, also in the 8th canto. And we may say, well, that sounds too long. People don't live that long, do they? We find in the Bible very long lifespans are given for the ancient prophets, and much longer ones are given here. But again, remember, time is relative. We had the story of Kakudmi visiting Brahma. Although to us it may seem like a fantastic lifespan of Brahma, some bacteria in our intestines, they can double, one becomes two in only 20 minutes. That means within a 24-hour period, there can be 72 generations of bacteria who take birth and die within our intestines. From the perspective of such a bacteria, the humans within the very intestines of whom they're living, of whom they have no knowledge, but if somehow the bacteria were endowed with enough intelligence to think about such things, they would find the lifespan of the humans to be fantastic. So in relation to beings like Lord Brahma, we're something like the germs. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. There are 30 days and nights in Brahma's month, 12 months in his year, and he lives for 100 years of his years. So he has a total of, 311,040 billion years. His life is in two halves, dviparat. His life is in two halves, dviparartha. We're just in the second. When we say Brahma's day and his night are of the same duration, That means what we would call a 24-hour cycle. And during the night portion of his day, there is a partial dissolution of the universe, as we just read about in Bhagavad Gita, just giving a little more background there. And at the end of Brahma's night, the whole material world is created again. Or, well, not exactly the whole material world, but all the planets are put back in place, all the living beings are given forms. So when we say that Brahma is the creator, it's not a one-off job, that he simply creates once and then he meditates on a cloud. But every day he recreates. His day is a huge day. He creates, as described in this section of Bhagavatam, just before the calculation of time from the atom, the creations of Brahma are described, creations of the rishis, creation of the demigods, creation of the humans, creation of the various living species. Everything is described there. So all these rishis, demigods, humans, they're all repeatedly born, and we'll find in every day of Brahma, in every universe, there are humans, there are snakes, there are bipeds, quadrupeds, there are plants, there are mountains, there are hills, there are trees. Interestingly, there's a bit of a side topic here. There are those who deny the Vedas. Traditionally, the Buddhists were well known for this. They say, well, the Vedas, you say the Vedas are eternal, but within the Vedas, we find mention of many personalities, like Indra, who's often referred to as Chakra in the Vedas. Agni is mentioned, various great rishis. Yajnavalkya is mentioned in the Vedas. His wives, Gargi and Maitreyi, are mentioned. So, if we're mentioning personalities, that means within a specific time, in a specific place, and space and time are, from what we can understand, unlimited. So if the names of specific persons and some of their activities are mentioned, then how can we say the Vedas are eternal? It's a record of, at least parts of it, are records of persons and places and things that were done in just a blip in time. However, the upholders of Veda Apurusheyatva, that the Vedas are not produced by any particular person, and Veda Nityatva, the eternality of the Vedas, say that the personalities mentioned in the Vedas are born again and again and again with similar names and activities. As stated in the Rig Veda, Surya Chandramasau Dhata Yata Purvam Makalpayat Devangcha Prithiving Chantariksham Ato Swaha. So there you go. It says that, yep, everything it's been and it will be again. We are now in Kali Yuga. After Kali Yuga comes another Satya Yuga, then another Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and then another Kali Yuga, then another Satya Yuga. So this cyclic time, revolution of time. Something like the four seasons, which are there in the Western world. Satya Yuga is described as a golden age, Treta Yuga a silver age, Dwarpa Yuga a bronze age, and Kali Yuga an iron age, because each successive yuga is inferior to the previous one in terms of people's character and all desirable qualities. In Kali Yuga, the devolution is practically on a daily basis, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatashchanu dinam rajan satyam socham shamadaya kalena balina rajan nangshantyayur balang smritihi. Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj that in Kali Yuga, with the passing of every single day, truthfulness, cleanliness, which includes purity of consciousness, tolerance, the ability to tolerate disturbances, the ability to tolerate other people's misbehavior, compassion for others, they all decrease day by day, along with dharma, religiousness, bodily strength, mentally strength, all good qualities are seen to decrease day by day until eventually at the end of Kali Yuga, people are simply totally degraded and animalistic. And then at the beginning of each Satya Yuga, the Vedic culture is put back in place. That's described in Bhagavatam, that in Kali Yuga, some rishis remain, and at the end of Kali Yuga, when Kalki Avatar wipes out all the barbarians, Mlecha Nivaha Kalayasi Karavalam Dhumaketa Miva Kimapi Karalam Keshava Dhritta Kalki Sharira Jai Jagadisha Hare. At the end of the Kali Yuga, Kalki Avatar destroys all the barbarians, but there are still some rishis left who re-establish the Vedic culture as Satya Yuga comes in. In Kali Yuga, gradually the Vedic culture becomes constricted, although it was previously all over the world, becomes constricted to what is now called the land of India, and therein also it becomes deteriorated, degraded, perverted in so many ways, and everything deteriorates until the Vedic culture is lost. And then again, the rishis, and specifically it's mentioned in Bhagavatam, that in our current Kali Yuga, there's Devapi, the brother of Maharaj Shantanu, this is going back 5,000 years, and Maru, who's another descendant of Ikshvaku, they both have tremendous mystic power, and they're living quietly, incognito, in a village called Kalap. And then these two kings, they're Raja Rishis, they are directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, and they return to human society and re-establish Sanatana Dharma, characterized by Varna and Ashram. So there's a little overview of this, of the cyclical understanding of time. The approach to the universal condition as if it's within linear time gives a different understanding of so many important things. For instance, the Western scholars, or the Western influence scholars, they want to date Vedic texts according to linguistic analysis, with the idea that the Sanskrit language came into being at a certain point and developed at a certain point, and then they tried to fix the chronology of this text came into being at such and such a time, and another text came into being at another time. But if we understand cyclic time, where is the beginning and where is the end? If you're in a circle going round and round on the perimeter of a circle, where's the beginning and where's the end? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions Buddhadev as coming later than when the Bhagavatam was written. And scholars, so-called scholars, presume that, well, actually the Bhagavatam must have been written after Buddha came. Otherwise, how could it have mentioned him? They couldn't have known about him. And it's written as if it was predicting Buddha. But actually it is predicting Buddha, because Vyasadeva is Trikala Darshi. He can see past, present and future. And he knows that Buddha will come. It's not that the Srimad Bhagavatam therefore is proved to post-date Buddhadev. It's something like we have in the Western countries, we have spring, summer, autumn, winter. So autumn comes after summer, but it also comes before summer. It comes after the previous summer, and it comes before the next summer. There are cycles within cycles also. Krishna comes once in a day of Lord Brahma, particularly in the form of Krishna. That's also called a kalpa, once in a day of Lord Brahma. And he is accompanied by the same personalities. Yashoda comes, Nanda comes, various rishis come, Gaga Rishi, Vyasa, and others. In the Padma Purana, we have information of Lord Ram hearing the narration of the Ramayana, which had happened in a previous kalpa. And Ram is listening to it. Well, that's a little different to what's going on in my life right now. The Ramayana, the story of Lord Rama, takes place again and again and again with some little differences. That's called kalpa bhed. Within each kalpa, the same kind of pastime is enacted by the avatars, but there's some little difference also. For instance, we learn from the acharyas that, unlike the description in the Srimad Bhagavatam of how Krishna dealt with Kaliya, the serpent Kaliya, it's stated in other days of Lord Brahma, Krishna, how does he go to Mathura? And we find in Bhagavatam that Akrura takes Krishna on his chariot, but in another day of Lord Brahma, Krishna rode Kaliya. He bridled Kaliya as if Kaliya was a horse and rode to Mathura on Kaliya. So, somewhat different, isn't it? Within the cycle of Manvantaras, there are 14 in each kalpa and each day of Brahma. And within each Manvantara, we get a new Manu, and we get a new Indra, a new Varuna, a new Agni, and so on. These names like Indra, Agni, they're posts. They're the name of posts which different people take at different times. And even within a Manvantara, many of the events are the same. Whoever has the role of Indra is karmically ready for that, so he has the same kind of attitude as previous Indras. Varuna, same. They have a certain role, they have a certain attitude. We find in the Bhagavatam and in other Puranas also descriptions of who have been the past Manus, who have been the past Indras, and Sapta Rishis, and who will be the ones in future. We know from Bhagavatam that Ashvatthama, despite being horrendously sinful, will in future be one of the Saptarshis, one of the seven great sages. Vyas, there's a different Vyas at the end of each Dwarapa Yuga. Vyas means who divides, So Vyasa divides, sorts out all the Vedic texts, sorts them into four Vedas, compiles the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Vedanta Sutras. This we learn from Vishnu Purana. We find in the Bhagavatam that Garga Rishi, who appears in Krishna Leela, he gives Krishna and Balaram their names, for instance, he appeared in a previous yuga and predicted to Muchukunda that in a future yuga, Krishna would appear and then Muchukunda would meet him. So Garga Rishi appears in different yugas, and we find various rishis accompany Krishna. For instance, when Krishna went from Dwaraka to Mithila, the city of Videha, to meet the great devotee, the king Bahulashva, and the great Brahmana, poor devotee Shrutadev, Krishna went to meet them. Krishna was accompanied from Dwaraka with many great rishis, and many of them had appeared in previous yugas also. So their lifespans may be very long. Or it may be that in some of them, especially this is the case with Vyasa, that there's a different Vyasa in every day of Brahma. So all these things have to be borne in mind when we're studying Puranas and Shastra and Bhagavatam, to not get bewildered by thinking that things seem to be contradictory or impossible. We're working on a different concept, a different understanding of time, which we understand is the right understanding of time. It's well known that Lord Rama appeared in Treta Yuga, which might make us think, well, so Rama appeared about 900,000 years ago. But it wasn't the Treta Yuga, which just went only 900,000 years ago. But it's from a previous Mahayuga, as we learn from Vayu Purana, Matsya Purana, that Ramayana in this day of Lord Brahma took place in the 24th Mahayuga cycle of the current Manvantara, and we're currently in the 28th Mahayuga cycle. That means that the most recent appearance of Lord Rama, on which we get the details in the Ramayana of Valmiki, that was about a little over 18 million years ago. 18,144,000 to be exact. A lot of this is described in Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which gives a detailed description of different avatars for the kalpas, manvantaras, and yugas. Vancha kalpa tarupyas chakripa sindhubhyavacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. Dante nitaya charnakam padayani patya kridvacha karka shatame. Hey, Sadhava Sakala, Parivadatu Jano Yata Tatava Nanumukaro Navayam Vicharayama Hari Rasamadi Ramadati Mata Bhuvilu Tamana Tamandi Vishala. Baha Pirang Natavarabapu Karnayo Karnikarang Vibradva Sakana Kapishang Vajayanti Jamala Randran Veno Atara Sudaya Purayan Gopa Vrindaya Vrindaranyang Swapada Ramarang Pravishad Gita Kirti Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahimaki Drisho Bhavaya Iva Swadyo Yedad Bhatamari Madhuri Maki Drisho Bhavadiyaha Sokhyang Cha Syamat Anubhavata Kidrishang Veti Lobhat Tadbhavar Desa Majani Shachi Garbhas Indhau Harinduhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.